Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at Home Business TV.
And I'm Lynn, your co-host.
Let's cure for sea and get underway. Every year, the world of home business becomes more international as boundaries and barriers break down.
But this opens up challenges of working with new cultures, of being able to work online with other people around the world. Human interactions.
Working with another culture, even if it's just through emails, phone calls, and videos, will challenge a home-based entrepreneur to get out of his or her comfort zone.
You'll need sensitivity, tools, and competencies that are common to succeeding with any cultural group across the world, whatever the product or service you sell.
You'll also need to be able to spot trends, often technological, that might appeal to a particular cultural group.
Helping us to better navigate business with other cultures is Brian Marcel, an international business leader and author of Raise the Bar, Change the Game, who is known as Mr. Mentor Vader.
So greetings, Brian Marcel. Welcome to the Home Business Podcast. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, Richard. Hi, Lynn. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on our
thanks
show.
Thanks for connecting in. So as I say, you're connecting in from across the pond.
Yeah. And the pond's filling up with the rain that we're having here. So it's not so great.
We've got a bit of snow ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Well, we had a little bit of technological difficulties getting connected, but we, as good entrepreneurs, we overcame. So thanks for connecting in.
Great. Absolute pleasure. Look forward to it.
Great. Let's dive into the deep end with cultures. Brian, how should you address any cultural shock of working with people in other countries?
Well, I think, you know, this culture is a big issue because about 80% of all mergers and acquisitions fail because people don't really understand the different cultures. They don't integrate them and they don't pay enough attention. At the end of the day, a culture's pretty much the way we do things around here. And it's very important that a business leader make sure that the people working for them are aligned with their goals, so that they do behave according to the goals and don't go off influenced by their peers.
So there's like an initial shock maybe of working with another culture. And, you know, a way to get around that, you're saying, is to stay aligned with the goals of where you're trying to go and, you know, and that'll help work through that shock.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that you have to pay more attention to the culture. Certainly it's important in your sort of one-to-ones or when you talk to your team every week to make sure that they are following the direction that you've given them and that they're fitting in. When I interview people, I put huge weight onto the chemistry that they might have with the company and whether they will fit in or not. And that takes up at least about a third of the information I want from them, in addition to, you know, their past experience, whether they could do the job, if they've done it successfully, and if they're likely to do a successful job for me, as well as any qualifications they might have. But that culture bit, that fit, is absolutely crucial.
Let's dive into this a little bit more, Brian. You know, one dimension of culture is like the different norms, particularly those related to conducting business. How do you, you know, deal with norms that you might not be familiar with?
I think it's very, very difficult, but it's all part of learning how to handle people, which is a big skill that entrepreneurs need. I find that empowering people, you know, listening to their ideas, delegating, making them feel that they have a difference to the company is a huge motivator. And I find a lot of business leaders don't give enough praise, they don't give enough feedback to their staff. You know, everybody wants to know if they're doing a good job or not. And even after a year or two, when the job might be losing its attraction and you might be getting a bit stale, you need a boost to your motivation. So there's nothing like a bit of praise, pat on the back, yes, you've done a good job, and that sort of thing. Very important.
So kind of for a small business owner and entrepreneur who's working with different cultures, just, you know, along with the praise, empowering the people that you're trying to work with and making sure they're empowered, you're saying that'll go a long ways to, you know, overcoming some of those problems with adjusting with the norms.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, you want to have a culture where people aren't afraid to make mistakes, a culture where failure isn't punished. If you sort of, you know, frown upon your team who are making mistakes, because everybody makes mistakes, that's just human nature, mm-hmm. They're not going to innovate if they think that every new thing they try, you're going to sit on them and say, why did you make a mistake? Why did you do this and the other? So it makes for a very uncomfortable environment to work with, and you won't get the best out of people like that at all.
So as like a business owner, you're working with people from a different culture. You want to be flexible and forgiving and understand that there's going to be problems that come up, even maybe some of those that are related to some communication barriers, and you just want to be forgiving and move on and make sure the team understands that it's just part of the game. It's part of the lessons of having a successful business.
Yeah, Richard, you mentioned that word communication, and you know, poor communication can actually start wars. I think some people,
yes. You know,
especially if you read, you know, if you send emails to people, mm-hmm. and try and do your business via email, you can't get the emotion or the inflections in an email, and people will just read that email blankly for what it is,
and you don't know how they're interpreting it. That, you know, that's one of the reasons why I think it's good, even if you can't make a face to face. What you're talking about there is even if you can get on some kind of a video conference and, you know, get some kind of visual cues, then, you know, that would help to, alleviate some of the, because email is such a challenge. I mean, if you're in an international environment, that could be 95% of your communication. So, you know, how do you keep that from being misinterpreted?
And that's right. And so I don't like to communicate by email, although it's obviously very important. You know, so I'd much rather have face-to-face meetings with my teams, and I do it regularly that way. And, you know, I'll set them the direction, I'll set them the goals that they have to work with, and we can go through that every time. You know, I give them an hour, of which 50 minutes is their time, and 10 minutes is my time. So they know that every week they got 50 minutes to store up all the issues that they want to talk about, any problems that they've got. And that also stops a lot of emails coming every day saying, you know, should I do this? What's happening here and there? They can just save all that up for the weekly meeting.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than trying to clear up confusion by email. You got to, but you know, one of the challenges you bring up is like a lot of small businesses, home businesses, they just don't have the opportunity to have as many face-to-face interactions. So I'm just kind of thinking outside the box, you know, how do you work through that challenge a little bit? Maybe, you know, maybe as video conferencing like we're doing here gets more prevalent, that'll help do that. But it still brings up a good point. Even if you are challenged with getting together, you should make an extra effort to have that face-to-face live communication with people you're doing business with.
Yeah, I think video conferencing hasn't taken off as much. Well, it has with the big corporations because they can afford it and they've got fancy meeting rooms with screens and good acoustics.
Right.
But, you know, young entrepreneurs who are setting out, they can't afford that kind of thing. But then, of course, they don't really need it because they're not necessarily dealing on a coast-to-coast basis with people scattered all over the place. Mm. You know, they're probably in the office down the hallway. Yeah. So having a face-to-face meeting is not a challenge for them at all, you know.
Yeah. Well, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Little Jimmy's Italian Ices and Push Carts. Start up a business selling their delicious and healthy Italian ices. Easy transport. Cart fits in most minivans or SUVs. No experience required. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau. For more info, call 800-763-4348 or visit italianice.net or our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Now, Brian, one challenge with working across cultures is lack of face-to-face meetings with your international clients. Any advice on working through hard spots you pick up when working with other cultures?
Well, in my book, of course, which I hope you'll all read, I do deal with at least five different cultures. And recently, a couple of years ago, I set up a business in China. And that is just the most extraordinary culture. I won't go into some of the things here, but it's an adventure. I think you've got to really want to take risks and explore the world, basically. Mm-hmm. If you do go into other countries to do business, the chances are you'll steal a march on your competition, because a lot of people don't like traveling, and they're scared of what they'll find. They won't even necessarily understand some of the local customs, and they'll make big, you know, faux pas, big mistakes. So they'd rather just stay where they are. But if you get out there and meet these different cultures, you're learning an awful lot. And by building relationships with them, you can set up a really good business. I went into an area that they didn't know anything about business, because it was the communist era, where there was a planned economy and nobody could think for themselves. You know, they had to buy what they were told at the price that they were told. So selling wasn't even a word in the vocabulary. So kind of dealing with that was not easy to train my new guys how to sell, how to manage, how to do business from a Western point of view. But, you know, once you've done it, it does give you a leap ahead again over property.
Just when you've gone into other countries, one point I've heard that can sometimes help is you find like a point of contact in that country that's familiar with, you know, the different cultures and norms that kind of helps you guide through that, so you're not picking it up, you know, looking to try to pick it up all yourself. Have you ever like looked for like a point man in that country to work with you and help, you know, pave the road for you?
Yes, I always do research before I go to a country. You know, there's so much information on the internet, and I would research culture specifically. And then once in that country, I'd visit the Chamber of Commerce's various logistic associations, who, you know, are agnostic as far as companies concerned. So I can have a good open conversation with them, explaining what I'm trying to achieve in the country. And they're very, very keen to explain the local cultures, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and all that sort of thing. Of course, one of the main things in a local culture is language. And it's amazing. I mean, that's obvious, of course, but it is amazing how few people learn the language before they go out there. And even a few words in that language really sort of make you fit in a lot better. I know when I did lots of presentations to customers out there, they, even to this day, actually, this goes on, and they know I don't speak the language, but I make a point of my first couple of sentences being in the local language, and then I laugh, say, well, rubbish pronunciation, all that. They laugh politely. The ice is broken, and we can carry on. Now carry on in English.
So, you know, most of the countries you go to, a lot of them will have a basic understanding of English, but you're hitting that personal touch where you make an effort of, you know, the introduction or whatever to put some points in their local language, and that helps break, you know, that breaks the ice. Well, Brian, that's some good advice. Do you have any additional advice on, you know, launching a business in other parts of the world that, you know, are unfamiliar with your product or service?
I think that is a good opportunity to move into different markets to increase your growth, because domestically you might run up against a glass ceiling or something that you can't break through. So selling your products into new markets is one obvious way to go if you've got the courage to get there. And if you're an entrepreneur, you've got a lot of courage, you've got a lot of self-belief and self-confidence, and you're a risk-taker, otherwise you wouldn't have started in business in the first place.
Yeah, you just said the key word risk. Be willing to take a risk with that new product or service.
Yeah, you'll be taking risks throughout your life. I mean, especially when you get challenges, when things aren't going so well, you're going to have to make some risky decisions, not only when things are not going so well, of course. Your whole life will be taking risky decisions, which might be financially detrimental to you. So anybody who wants to set up a business should examine what their attitude to risk is before they do it, because if they're not ready to risk their life, really, don't start, would be my advice.
Good advice.
Brian, after your business launch, how can one work with other cultures to better brand their business outside of their comfort zone?
I think just moving into a different country is certainly out of your comfort zone. And a lot of people thrive on that because it's exciting, it's adventurous, it gets you out of the routine of domestic life, if you like, dealing with different people. And it's a challenge. Most entrepreneurs are up to the challenge. In terms of branding, I think that is a challenge in itself, because you've got language issues, you've got people not understanding what your brand's all about. You know, if you can afford an agency to do the branding for you, there are definite rules associated with the brand that have to be adhered to. And that's not necessarily possible in a foreign country, because of the different customs and the different interpretations of things. So you really need to have someone locally there to help you out and do it for you, basically.
So you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone in representing your business more than you would in your domestic market to brand that. But one thing I've heard, it seems kind of simple, maybe your thoughts on this with a brand, is the actual visual snapshot that you're presenting, such as your business's logo and a short mission statement, and then trying to communicate that as much as you can for a brand. Do you find that, you know, a logo and a mission statement pretty important in foreign countries for building a brand, or is it more just you got to just get out there and communicate in general?
I think you've got to keep your logo and your strap line common throughout the world, like Coca-Cola, like all these big brands, because you want it to be instantly recognizable. So no sense in changing the brand or the logo just to suit a country. I've recently had a problem because I've just formed an alliance with one of my competitors in six other countries in Central Europe. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to put the two names together so that, you know, that would be the new alliance. When you put the names together, the resulting word meant something extremely rude in the language of one of the countries that we were going to operate in. So we've had to change the whole thing around.
No, I've heard that happens, I think, quite common. And there's been some humorous things. But, you know, you just got to be aware of it. Always be overly sensitive and aware, you know, to pick up on these things. You know, what advice can you give to young business owners who are looking to spot the next big trend for their business going into another country or culture. You know, that concept of, you know, what's the next big trend and how can I apply that and capitalize on that on an international market?
Well, that's a big one. You've got to be open to travel. You've got to network a lot. You've got to go to conferences on the subject that, you know, you're involved with at the moment, or if it's a new market, whatever that that conference subject is. And you've got to learn, mix with the people there. You know, you've got LinkedIn now, so you can link up with all the people you want to speak to and read about what they get up to. If you're looking for product, there's nothing like the Canton Fair in Guangzhou in China, which is absolutely enormous. I think it's over about 24 hallways and it goes on about 3 weeks. So you need to get on a plane, get out there and walk the halls, see what you can find. You know, see what's not available in your domestic market and get some ideas. And you can't do that sitting in your office in Minnesota, really. So, yeah, you have to get out there and look around, do your research, do your due diligence.
Yeah, it's just seems like nothing changes. In the Navy, it was the same thing. Get out of your stateroom and walk the deck plates, and that's how you figure out what, you know, what's going on and where things are going.
Yeah, exactly. Management by walking around.
That's actually what we called it.
Yeah.
Brian Marcel, this has been a great discussion on working better with different cultures. Do you have any final points you'd like to share?
Well, I just wish everybody well. I think more people should travel, get out and see the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I know America's an enormous country. You've got pretty much the whole world in one continent there. So. But, you know, it's fun to travel. It's fun staying in new hotels, meeting new people, learning new languages. It's an adventure itself. And even if nothing happens when you get there, go again. Go, you know, try again and just have fun. I mean, business should be all about fun, shouldn't it, really? We're all looking for quality of life and having a good time.
Yeah, got to keep it fun. Well, Brian Marcel, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. It's been very nice talking to you.
To learn more about Brian Marcel and his book, Raise the Bar, Change the Game, visit brianmarcel.net or a podcast website for more information on guests.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more info, visit homebusinessmag.com or the expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.